All right, Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 1. We'll just dent the introduction tonight. How's that? All right, did you read Leviticus this last week? You say, Pastor, that was hard reading. Yeah, it is a little rough. It is. And probably a lot of this stuff, you thought, well, you know, what's that about? And I tell you, a great study sometime down the road, if the Lord tarries, would be for us to dig into Leviticus and go over to the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews, their sister books. All right? Many of the books in the Bible have a sister book, Romans and Numbers, all right? Revelation and Daniel. They have their sister books. And you have the type in the Old Testament, and then you have the fulfillment and the explanation of that type in the New Testament book. The book of Joshua and the book of Ephesians, they tie together. And you can see the principles in Joshua, and then go to the New Testament book of Ephesians and see how Christ has fulfilled all those pictures about trust in the Lord and in Christian living. Now, let me just read to you one verse. Verse 1, it says, "And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation." Now, the opening words of Leviticus show us that we need to understand what was written and what happened in the previous book, the book of Exodus, if we're going to be able to get what's in Leviticus. Okay? If you will remember back in at the end of Exodus in chapter 40, verse 34, it said, "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys." Now, in chapter 1 of Leviticus, verse 1, we see three entities mentioned. We see Jehovah God, we see Moses, and we see the tent. Now, if your Bible started with Leviticus and it didn't have Exodus and it didn't have Genesis, you would not know who this Jehovah God was, and you would not know who this Moses fellow was, and you would not know what this tent of the tabernacle was. Because you see, those entities were explained in the two previous books. You remember last week, especially in the book of Exodus, you remember last week I put great emphasis upon the fact that in the third chapter, God told Moses, when Moses questioned, God spoke to him out of the burning bush and said, "Go tell Pharaoh to let my people go." And Moses said, "Well, Lord, whom shall I say has sent me?" And, you know, when Pharaoh asked and when the people asked, "Well, who told you to do this?" And God said, "You tell them I am that I am has sent you." All right. And then subsequently throughout the book of Exodus, God reveals more of himself through names that he gives himself. And so we learn who our God is. Okay? In the third chapter of Exodus, we see out of all the tribes and out of all of the children of Israel that were in Egypt, there is one little baby that is put in an ark made out of bulrushes, and that little baby is taken out of the water and becomes the central figure, and it is that individual, that man, Moses, whom God uses to be the leader of the tribes as they come out. So you see, you've got to have Exodus or you won't understand Leviticus. You've got to realize that God gave Moses this law, and this law is basically how the people can be in fellowship with this God that we are reading about in the book. So if we had not read Exodus, we would not know who Jehovah was or who Moses was or what the tent of the meeting, the tent of the congregation, the tent of the tabernacle was. But having read Exodus, we do not need to ask these questions now because we've already discovered in Exodus what they are. Because God spent much of the book of Exodus revealing who he was and who Moses was, and the book closes with the cloud hovering over the tent of the meeting. And of course, that cloud was God. All right, it was the Shekinah, the glory of God. Now, here's the book of Leviticus in a nutshell. The book of Leviticus deals with how sinful men can be rightly related to and how he can worship a holy God. That's what the book is all about. It is how sinful men can be rightly related to God and how those sinners can worship a holy God. What the book of Leviticus teaches us, we cannot do today. We can't do it today. PETA would be down your throat if you offer a sacrifice on an altar in your yard. All right, your neighbors are going to call somebody on you, and it won't be anonymously. Okay? But here's the good thing. We don't need today to do what this book says, because this book was a seed, and from that seed came the Savior. And the Lord Jesus came 2,000 years ago and did for us what is needed if sinful man is going to be rightly related to God. Does that make sense? So what is its purpose? Well, listen carefully. It reveals the underlying elements that are necessary. It reveals in seed form the underlying elements that are necessary for a man to be rightly related to God. And all of these underlying elements were provided for us in the fullness of the time through the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, everything in this book is important as it is laying the foundation for taking care of man's sin problem, which we learned man had back in the book of Genesis. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Genesis, we see man created. We see man's sin. We see God provide a sacrifice for him. Then in Exodus, we see further amplification on a national level in that Moses told the nation, every family, take a lamb, take its blood, put it on the doorpost and on the side post of your house. And when the angel of the Lord passes over, when he sees the blood, he will pass over you. Thus the term Passover. All right, so now here they are. They're a nation. They're a people. They're out of Egypt. They are now their own entity. And God says, all right, now I've got my people out of the world. I've got them unto myself. Now let me show you not only how you can be rightly related to me, but let me show you how you can do what I created you to do. Let me show you how you can worship me. And that's why this book is so vital, because the underlying principles here, the underlying principles were all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now, what are those underlying principles? Well, basically, you can divide them into five things. Let me just give them to you. You can divide them into five things. These are the underlying principles. Let me give them to you. Number one, the book discusses the offerings they were to bring. You see, when you come to God, you don't come empty-handed. All right? So therefore, the book of Leviticus talks about all these offerings. You say, well, I wondered what all that was about. I read those offerings. I thought, why are they doing that? Well, each one is showing that when you come to God, you bring an offering. All right? You bring an offering. By the way, that's what our Savior did. He brought himself. All right? He offered himself to God on our behalf. This book, secondly, shows us the fact that they needed a mediator. Did you notice that in the book? They needed a mediator. They had to have a priest to act as a go-between between the sinner and God. All right? And of course, we know, turn over to the book of Hebrews, and the Lord Jesus is our great high priest. He's our great high priest. Okay, number three, the laws of separation that are in this book. And there are, much of the book has to deal with God's laws of separation for the Jews. And the laws of separation, which must identify the people as the people of God. God gave them these laws. Now, I'm glad we don't have to follow those today, because I like steamed crabs. And I like bacon and ham and oysters. Oh, yes. A hillbilly and oysters. How does that work? I don't know, but I like them. I don't like them. I love them. All right? So then number, what is it? Four? Number four. The book discusses the feasts that they must observe. The feasts they must observe. To emphasize, you say, why all those feasts? The feasts emphasize the benefits they gained as a result of sins forgiven. All right, let me think about it. They emphasize the benefits they gained as a result of sins forgiven. And the various signs which sealed their identification as God's people. All right? Just certain things that God said the Jews were to do that God didn't put on any other people. So through this, there is the permanent value that is taught in this book. And that permanent value is that we see in this book the recognition of sin and sin's nature. When you read this book, you cannot help but see that men are sinners. And you see what sin does. The nature of sin is revealed in this book. Sin is dealt with in Leviticus as offense, as wrong, which is done against God. And what is revealed in the book is that sin separates man from God. It separates man from the knowledge of God. And it separates man from the fellowship of God. And thus you have this book which shows those sinners back in Bible times when God called them out as a nation. It shows how these sinners could be restored to fellowship and how they could worship God. Now, again, if you keep reading the Bible and you keep going through the scriptures, you will eventually get to the book of Malachi. You will finish Malachi and you will turn the page and there'll be a title page there and it'll say the New Testament. Now, you've been reading the Old Covenant. Now, you start in Matthew and you're reading the New Covenant. And if you've read Leviticus and you've read Exodus and you see, you've read Genesis, but you know who God is. You know that man's a sinner. You know that it takes blood in order for man to be right with God. Somebody has to die. Somebody has to shed their blood. And then you flip over into the New Testament and you start reading about this man who was born of a virgin who was God in the flesh. And that God in the flesh went to the cross and gave his blood. And then you start paralleling and looking back and you'll see pictures of Jesus on every page in Leviticus. You'll see him in the offerings. You will see him in the feast. You will see him in the priest, the mediator. You will see him in every aspect of it. And you start piecing together the permanent value that is to be learned out of Leviticus is that sin has a terrible price connected to it, but that God has provided a way for that sin to be dealt with. Amen. What a wonderful book it is. I mean, it's just a microcosm of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Now, there's one other thing I want you to see before I let you go. There is a backdrop upon which sin is cast in this book. And that backdrop is the holiness of God. When sin is dealt with, when you see this holy God and 159 times the word holy is mentioned in this book. 159 times. So see the picture. We are filthy, dirty, unrighteous sinners, and God is pure and holy. And the only way that we as sinners can be right with God and can know God and can be forgiven of our sin by God is to have our sin atoned through the blood of an innocent sacrifice. That's in every page of this book. So the permanent value of the book is its revelation to man of God's purpose of redemption. The offerings in the book that it requires shows us the provision for approaching God. The mediation of a priest. Look at your five things. Look at your list. The offerings in the book show us the provision the provision for approaching God. The mediation of a priest shows us the method for approaching God. The laws of separation reveals the conditions upon which we might approach God, and the feast reveal the benefits of our approach to God, and all these symbols of ratification that were the signs of restored relations between a sinful man and a holy God. And the whole idea is that, folks, there is a way to approach God, provided for by God himself, for man to have his fellowship restored with God. All right, everybody understand all that? There's a whole lot more to Leviticus, a whole lot more, but I gave you the nutshell version. Oh, there's a couple of good things here. Well, we'll have to do that another time.